Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Bills Wire podcast. Matt and Jeremy here to talk probably one of the best drafts in recent memory for the Buffalo Bills. It was really, really exciting 2019 NFL draft. I'm stoked to talk about it, man. I mean, how are you feeling about it right now? Just overall, it's cool, right? I mean, I'm satisfied.
Yeah, I know we're a little late to the party in terms of our recap of the draft picks, and that's for a multitude of reasons. So we apologize about not getting on this a little bit more timely, but I'm still glowing about this draft, Matt, just because of the players that the Bills were able to nab when they got them, the rounds they got them, and I know that you and I talked briefly too after the first round. So yes, we were able to talk about Ed Oliver a little bit, and obviously he highlights the class, but I'm looking forward to digging in a little deeper with the rest of these picks and seeing where these guys, where we think they can fit in. And they had a couple really good undrafted free agent signings too that are just interesting names, you know, that played at big-time college programs. So, yeah, just overall, I think the whole weekend for the Bills was positive and you know, like most teams, right? Like most teams think that they did really well. It's a draft, you're adding new players. You think right. you're feeling needs and adding talent and youth to your roster, which is true. But we won't really know how good all these guys will pan out. But it is interesting, at least on paper. It's something to get stoked about as we're just at the end of April, beginning of May here, and we still have a few months before the season kicks off, and it's something to at least be excited about because we still have a little bit ways away before we actually start playing games.
We most certainly do. And like Jeremy, you know, like you said, we are a few days late to the party as far as discussing all the draft picks, but I think it speaks, you know, it says something that, we are a couple days late getting this done, but we're still feeling good about it, right? We're not just caught up in the moment. You know, right after the draft, you know, Bills are great. No, here we are a couple days after, been able to really sit down, break it down, just think about it, and still have, you know, be really optimistic for Buffalo. Yeah. And it's been incredibly long since I can honestly say that. But yeah, what a great week. We'll start off as we already featured an episode on it. This is from, we did it Friday morning. Ed Oliver was the first round pick, defensive tackle from Houston. In the second round, sixth pick in the second round, 38th overall, the Buffalo Bills drafted Cody Ford, guard from Oklahoma. Oof. I love it. I love it. That line, right? That line that we all criticized so much last year. And here we get another, like a stud, an absolute stud to bolster that a little, just a little bit. It's going to make such a difference.
Yeah, he started at right tackle for Oklahoma, and he'll probably play the same position or at least start out there for the Bills. And just a nasty player, someone that's going to move people, huge, massive human being. I mean, most offensive linemen are, but he towers over people and is probably considered a mauler by all accounts. You know, just reading his bio, I didn't know too much about him pre-draft, but obviously wanted to dig in a little bit more of his highlights and his bio. Really interesting guy, and like Ed Oliver, was super excited to come to the Bills, which I think we can finally dismiss all of the nobody wants to come to Buffalo talk.
Yes,
I think that was also very evident in this draft, is that Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean talk about culture all the time, and that's what they've tried to build, and they've done some major changes. You know, they've really overhauled the roster since coming in, and they've also done the little things, you know, with the cult, you know, with the owners as well, with the new facilities. I think players and now draft picks are thinking that Buffalo is a destination to play football professionally. And, I think for as much talk, as much ridicule as the whole culture notion gets with a lot of fans and media members and McDermott always trying to preach that. I do think it has gone a long way in recruiting. And, you know, a lot of that also, I think they need to thank the fans for, you know, their continued support and branding Bills Mafia as big as that term has been. I mean, that's what these players who come to the franchise, you know, first say all the time. So it's exciting to get great players and to get great offensive linemen like this to help protect Josh Allen. And this is the formula, though, that most NFL franchises follow, right? They draft their franchise quarterback, or they think it's their franchise quarterback. And usually next up is, well, let's surround him with, you know, an offensive line that can protect him. So I'm not surprised they went offensive tackle in round two. I know some people wanted a receiver, and I don't know if at that point they felt the value was there. So they grabbed a guy that will probably take over at right tackle, barring that he can play outside. And yeah, I just love the pick. I mean, he's played with, you know, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray back to back first, you know, picks overall in you know, this year's draft and in the draft before. So I don't know. You can't say much about it. I think they had a first round grade on him, and so you get him in the second round. And yeah, I mean, just a tremendous player. I think it helps solidify the offensive line even more, and will help Josh Allen. But just a behemoth of a man, and great film. You know, you always see him hustling downfield. I think you can't be mad at that pick. So
no, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. I mean, I'm reading here when he declared he was ranked as the number three guard available. Right. I know you said he mentioned right tackle. Let's see. Last year he was third team All American and second team All Big 12. So I think, yeah, Bills did really good for themselves there, I must say. So yeah, Cody Ford, a Buffalo Bill. Round three, we had multiple picks. Mm-hmm. We'll start off with the 11th pick in the third round. I know you were very big on this. Devin Singletary, running back from Florida Atlantic.
He just is special. I've watched a lot of Miami Hurricane football. We'll get to Jaquan Johnson too in a little bit, but I watched a lot of just Florida, the state of Florida football in general. I'm usually watching that state just because they have so many players, it seems like, all the time getting drafted from that state, and so many great athletes. And, you know, at FAU, Devin Singletary, as Brandon Bean mentioned in his press conference too after the pick, about how fun Devin Singletary is to watch. And I can envision Bills fans loving this player, because not only is he very shifty and elusive and can, you know, to take Shady's phrase, cut on a dime, but this guy, watching him play, does not shy away from contact. You know, I think Shady would, you know, in a one-on-one situation headed toward the sideline, would step out of bounds.
Right.
Singletary is not going to do that. He's going to lower his shoulder, spin back into, you know, the middle of the field and lower his shoulder into people. Like, he, for a small stature that he is, he will not back down from contact. But he's so elusive that he avoids a lot of those big hits anyway. But like I said, he's a great tackle. You know, he breaks a lot of tackles. Arm tackles are not going to bring this guy down. He's stout and lower center of gravity. I heard somebody mention that he almost reminds him of former Bill Travis Henry. From Tennessee, of just how kind of compact he is, and you know, low to, you know, just that low center of gravity, and that's a decent comparison. But I think he's way more athletic, and his 40 time wouldn't suggest that. But he's got more fast twitch in his game, and he can start and stop with the best of them, and he can just make people look silly. Now, some people are saying, like, well, he played at a lower competition, and that may be true, but I think if you have your own style and you're good, you're just good. That's my theory. I mean, he's not playing against, you know, high schoolers here. It's still Division I. No. I think I think it's definitely a big step up in competition for him. But I love the pick because, as you know, Matt, like the backfield right now is very old with Frank Gore, and I don't think Shady will return after next season. So you need to start littering your backfield with various levels of youth. And they brought in TJ Yeldon, which is great because he's, you know, 25, 26 next year, and you know, Devin's 21. So you have a good range of ages now in the backfield for 2019. And then looking beyond, I think it's just a great pick. I thought that this is the kind of round he would go in. I'm not sure that like, the Bills got a steal here. I think a lot of other clubs would have taken him pretty shortly after this. So I think for them to kind of stay patient and just hold and be able to get him at 74th overall was a great pickup. I love it. I'm really, really intrigued with what they do in the backfield. Like, are they going to keep all four of these guys? Is Yeldon in trouble even though he just signed? Are they going to, you know, I think that that's really interesting how many guys in the backfield they're going to carry.
Yeah, because I think they're like technically eight deep right now with the signing of Singletary, with the drafting him. But I'm looking at Singletary's collegiate stats right now. 2016 as a freshman in 12 games played, 1,021 yards rushing, averaging 6.7 yards a carry and 12 touchdowns, as well as 163 receiving yards off 26 catches. 2017, 301 attempts, 1,918 rushing yards. That's insane.
Well, he's a workhorse. I mean, he just, you know, he gets the ball so much, and Lane Kiffin was just giving him the ball all the time. I mean, there was no, no let up for Devin Singletary. I mean, he carried he carried the load there for them. He was their offense, especially in the red zone, Matt. You know, he carried the ball a lot of times inside the 20. And that's where he got a lot of his touchdowns. Cause I know that you're going to mention his just touchdown output too, but his production is ridiculously off the charts.
It is. Yeah. 32 touchdowns in 2017. That was his best year statistically, as well as 198 receiving yards on 19 catches and one touchdown that year. 2018, last year, 12 games played on 261 attempts, 1,348 rushing yards, 22 touchdowns, a lot fewer receiving yards. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I mean, yeah, we're getting quite the personality in it. And if he can catch too, that just helps his case even more. You know, I think it's excellent. I think it's absolutely excellent where we got him at. That Buffalo picked him up, you know, when they did. It's solid. Absolutely solid.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how much really he'll make a difference in the passing game because they didn't use him all that much that way. But there's no telling why the Bills couldn't. You know, the other thing I just want to mention with him before we move on from Devin is a lot of his carries came out of the shotgun, Matt. So, I mean, I would say, you know, all of his highlights, all, you know, when you watch his game film, he's back there next to the quarterback all the time. So that's a lot of what you'll see the Bills do as well. So he can kind of be a good third down kind of specialist. But now that you also have TJ Yeldon serving in that role, the defenses aren't going to know whether you're going to hand it off or pass. You know, TJ is really good out of the backfield catching the ball. And if you do keep both of these guys, I think it's a lot harder for defenses to game plan because you just have a lot of backs that can do both things. And I think he just fits the scheme, offensive scheme, really well, and what Brian Daboll wants to do. So, you know, out of the shotgun runs are very popular, especially in Daboll's offense. We saw that a lot. And I just think that he's gonna fit really well.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see how his career pans out. I would imagine he's going to make the, you know, final cut roster, but it's going to be good. Regardless, it's going to be a good battle to, you know, make those final running back spots, whatever they may be.
Right. And hey, if he struggles or just shows like little flashes but needs some work, if you can, you know, I don't think you'll want to get him. I think you want him on your roster, but, you know, there's always a practice squad eligibility. But you, with a round, with a third round pick and a top 75 pick in the draft, you expect them to make the team.
Yes, sure. You would think. Yeah. Also drafted in the third round, Buffalo selects tight end Dawson Knox from Mississippi, 96th overall. This was
Don't read his stats because they're not going to be that impressive.
No, they're not. I looked at him. I was a little bit shocked. Actually, the tight end that they drafted last was better statistically. But regardless, they probably were going to look. I figured I was a little surprised that they went two tight ends in this draft. I figured one at the most because I know they have Croft and the other guy from Cincinnati. But yeah, maybe they're just trying to find their own young guy. They missed out right on.
Jason Kroom as well.
That's true. Forgot about that.
Yeah, you got Kroom. You've got now Dawson Knox. And the seventh round pick, which we'll get to, Tommy Sweeney. I mean, that's just a body, honestly. Yeah. And he's more of a blocking tight end, so you're just trying to fill out the rosters. But getting back to Knox, the Bills simply here just drafted on projection and drafted an athlete who they think they can mold into a good tight end. And he has all the physical attributes that you look for. He's 250, good size. I think his measurables are exactly what you're looking for a prototypical tight end. And they also mentioned this, and this is pretty well known now. He was just miscast in Ole Miss. I mean, there were so many other guys catching balls. So he wasn't that, integrated into the offense in terms of being a pass catcher. But I think the Bills will develop that. And, yeah, you have a couple of young promising guys. I think Kroom showed a lot, especially in the preseason. He didn't get a ton because he was behind – or a ton of opportunity because he was behind veterans last year, like Clay. But, he showed some promise. Dawson Knox has promise. Tyler Croft, I think, has proven a little bit more in the league, but still relatively young. So it's a very young group positionally. And so there's just a lot of molding, a lot of coaching and teaching that needs to go on with that group. But you hope that they catch on quickly. I was hoping in free agency that – Brandon Bean was a little bit more aggressive and maybe bringing in a veteran to fill in and more, even more so than a Croft. But, it's going to be a young group. We'll see how it develops. I like the pick from the sense that it was a need position and the guy is very, very athletic and they must see something, in his ability to kind of change and be even a better pro than he was an SEC college player. So, we'll see. I think the verdict is out for sure on him, but I'm interested to see how he looks in camp and if he can even push Tyler Croft for more targets.
Absolutely. All right, moving on to round five. No pick in round four. Round five here, 147th overall. Voshan. I probably botched that name. Voshan Joseph, linebacker, Florida.
Yeah, so the Bills, of course, don't have a fourth-round pick because they traded both of them to trade up to get Dawson Knox, so they had to wait all the way to pick number 147. This is probably one of my favorite pickups in this draft. I know that there's a lot of great guys ahead of Voshan, like Ed and Cody Ford. Devin's a little sexier pick because of the position he plays. But this guy is awesome at Florida. I watched him a little bit, too, and if you watch any SEC college football, you knew number 11 on the Gators because he was all over the field. He will be a tremendous special team addition, I think, as well. So right away, you can see him playing a key role there. I like the fact that he's just violent at the point of contact. And when he comes downhill, I do not want to be on the other end of that hit. Because he's, like I said, he's a very violent player. and just a very aggressive. And that's what we hear a lot from Sean McDermott, is that he wants his defense to get upfield and be aggressive and penetrate gaps. And that's exactly what he does. Like, I can't think of a better linebacker scheme fit wise for exactly what McDermott preaches. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he integrates, and I know he won't be probably in a starter role right away as a linebacker on the team, but I think he'll be noticed and make his impact felt on special teams. And if there is an injury, hopefully he can step in and make his mark and get his opportunity. But I love the pick for depth, and I love the pick for the future. And I can just see him, gashing through offensive linemen and making plays in the backfield. That's just his MO. And, I think, at that point of the draft, at number 225 there, or excuse me, at number 147 there in the fifth round, you can't ask for much more than that. And they got another tremendous athlete who is aggressive and fits their scheme.
They absolutely did. 161 career tackles in college, 93 of them last year, including four sacks. Mm-hmm. Very, very impressive athlete. Yeah, good guy to, good young guy to groom, without a doubt.
I can kind of see him maybe playing like on situational pass rushing downs.
Right.
As from the linebacker position, if Lorenzo is gassed or, they just need someone else, or they just want to kind of use him as a free roaming linebacker to kind of like line up somewhere along the line of scrimmage and, blitz from wherever, and just to confuse the offense. I think he can just be like a situational weapon in that way. So I love that, because you never know when you need to dial up a third down blitz, or, he can kind of just be a game-changing player at a critical time. So I like that potential there with Joseph.
100%. All right, moving on to round six, 181st overall pick, Jaquan Johnson, safety, Miami. Yeah, why not? Why not more defensive guys? Bolster it up. Safety wasn't one of the most important needs going into this draft, but it's why not? In the later rounds, it's a defensive heavy draft. Why not?
Yeah, you're in round six, and I actually thought Johnson would go a little higher. I thought maybe as high as a fourth rounder, between four and six. So to get him kind of in the bottom tier of where he was slated, I think is great value. Watched a lot of Johnson with Miami. I think, he wasn't someone that flashed. He's not somebody that stands out of a Miami defense that caused a lot of turnovers with the whole turnover chain. And he had been there for kind of the birth of that, but a leader of that Miami defense. He's a steady, fundamentally sound player. He's always looking for turnovers, and they teach that down there so well. And is always trying to strip the ball, but he's a good tackler. And I think he plays faster than his 40 time is, and we'll see where he slates in. Probably another good special teamer. I know I've watched him a lot as the gunner on punts. So another opportunity for him to make the roster is to contribute on special teams and add some more safety depth to that group. So good pick. I think the value was just probably jumping off the board for the Bills at that point. And, at 181, why not? He's was a captain, accomplished college player, good personality, good teammate. Again, great special teams player. So, round six, good pick. And the Bills make their sixth pick of the draft, and they're rolling.
They are, absolutely are. 252 tackles collegiately. Last 2 years, 92 in 2018 and 96 in 2017. So he's a dude that's going to be all over the field. So that's excellent. We need more of that. We absolutely do.
Yeah, he's always in position. He's never out of position, but he's not the guy that just flashes off your screen with like incredible blazing speed, or like Voshan Joseph that we just talked about. Like Voshan, he's someone's just like flashes on the screen to make a play in the backfield. You're like, whoa, like where did he come from? You know, Jaquan's not like that. He's just, you know, either playing back, or he'll come up on nickel and in some situations to play the slot. He did that a little bit, but he's very good in zone. He's very good at getting deflections off of tipped balls and getting picks that way. So, like I said, he's just positionally fundamentally sound, but he's not going to just, you know, be an elite athlete that just jumps off your screen. But that's still okay. You still need guys that can just be there for you, and especially in this zone defense defensive scheme that Leslie Frazier and McDermott like to employ.
For sure, for sure. Round seven, we have two picks. First off, 225th overall, Daryl Johnson, edge rush from North Carolina AT&T. Yeah, another solid, you know, edge rush. Well, a solid edge rush guy. Let's see. I think I have some stats on him. Maybe not.
Yeah, he played Aggies at AT&T, and I don't know too much about him, honestly, just because of where he played. It's not like I watched a ton of AT&T football.
Right.
But he, you know, it's just at round seven, Matt, you're just looking for guys that can maybe contribute on special teams, you know, push kind of the fringe guys who have, you know, been cut, or like – just add competition to guys last year that were drafted later, undrafted free agents who were on the practice squad, like a Mike Love and et cetera. So you're just adding a player. You hope you get a, you know, diamond in the rough here, but yeah, there's not a whole lot else really to say like about these round seven picks. They're more flyers at this point. I think even from round six to with Johnson too, there's nothing guaranteed there. He'll have Bush and other safeties to contend with. So at this point, you're just bringing guys who you think that can really compete for jobs, or maybe be added to a practice squad to develop. Yeah.
At the absolute worst. All right. And the next pick, the last pick for Buffalo, 228th overall, Tommy Sweeney, tight end of Boston College. Sweeney had 1,281 receiving yards over 4 years of college, and as well as 10 touchdowns. His best year in 2017, 512 receiving yards on 36 catches. So,
he saw limited action as a redshirt freshman. You know, his sophomore campaign, he caught 26 passes and 3 touchdowns. So, right away, he has more touchdowns than. than Knox, but he continued to do well. He had 4 touchdowns his junior year. You know, he was a preseason all ACC first team honors. He was nominated for the Mackey Award as the best tight end in the country, but that was all preseason stuff. So I don't think he ever lived up to that. You know, kind of stature, and he was, you know, definitely a better blocking tight end, inline guy, you know, someone else to develop. And like we said, they have a young core there in the tight end room with Kroom, with Croft coming over. Yes, Jake Fisher, who is going to be a converted tackle, the other Cincinnati player that signed. So so Fisher's there too. So you have just. Fisher's not necessarily a young player in the league, but he's very new to that position. Never played tight end before. So, yeah, you just have a lot of experiments at tight end, which I'm not all that thrilled about. I mean, I guess Croft is an experiment. That's where he's played. But he's not necessarily an established star, or an established, at least, you know, person that you would want on your fantasy team, right?
Right and all.
So, you know, they still lack for firepower at that position. And like I said, I wish that they had gone and addressed that even more so with somebody that was just a little bit more, had a little bit more pop. But anyway, I think for the, you know, for the Bills, they have guys here that they can mold and that they believe that can turn into really good players. And we'll see if they can do it. I think that the draft, though, overall, we said this too, Matt, after the first night, we didn't think that the Bills were going to use all of their draft picks. They had 10 to start out the draft. There was no way they were going to do that. So they traded up a couple of times. Once to get a little higher up to draft Cody in the second round. And then again, they got rid of both of their fourth round picks to move up to get Knox. So that was inevitable, I think, with as many picks as they had. But I think overall, it's a great draft. I think Bills fans were excited about, you know, some of the needs. I think that they're just going to roll with the receivers that they have on the roster. You know, I think this was definitely a vote of confidence for guys like Zay Jones and the guys they brought in, that they just believe their receiving group is all set.
I think so too. If they really were desperate for a wide receiver, they would have went one early enough. Maybe Singletary is, you know, maybe he's not a Buffalo Bill at that point in time. Maybe they go for a wide receiver then. But overall, we don't know, obviously don't know. We can't predict the future. But I think if I was to give like a quick grade, you know, it is to them addressing their needs. I would probably have to go like a B+, to be honest with you. With this draft, I was very, very happy with it. And the buzz around Buffalo too was really good. And I know a lot of the fans are super optimistic all the time, but it was like a different kind of optimism. So that was good to see.
It's definitely good to see. I think fans understand the trajectory and the vision and plan that McDermott and Bean have. It was very evident even from year one when they were very coy about the whole Tyrod Taylor being their quarterback. And you've just kind of seen over the last couple of years build the roster that they want to build. And, you know, a lot of people in the media are saying this is, you know, the best 50, 53 players that they've seen, you know, guys that cover the team on a daily basis down there. So I would tend to agree with them, you know, just looking from afar and on paper. I think this is probably one of the more complete rosters they've had, you know, this century, probably.
Without a doubt.
So I think, you know, they might have a better quarterback maybe back when they had Bledsoe and you know, maybe those early 2000 teams where they just barely missed out might have been a little better. But I think you have a younger nucleus and plan and vision with a potential and it's really going to come down to Allen and how he plays. But if he keeps progressing and turns into that franchise guy, then I think you have the makings of a really good team and a team that can contend for the playoffs on a yearly basis.
Without a doubt. I am excited for the future and you know, the weekend didn't stop just with the draft. We had a couple undrafted free agent signings this weekend as well that we'd have to acknowledge. I think the biggest one probably, and it's not even official yet, but I think he has to pass a physical before they go through with it. But University at Buffalo quarterback Tyree Jackson. This broke maybe an hour after the draft completed that they went for him, which I think is, you know, it's huge. It's another good young guy who could, you know, be almost an insurance policy. I know Buffalo has Matt Barkley and I think Derek Anderson signed as well. Maybe not. But you have Tyree Jackson, you know, he's guy's talented. You know, if God forbid something happens to Josh Allen, you have another young guy to groom, or maybe you groom him anyways and use him as trade bait. It's the same way that New England, you know, has developed guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, and use those to help your team further down the line.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how long they believe Derek Anderson needs to be around. You know, I know they wanted him last year to really mentor Josh Allen, but I don't know if his time there is over or if they still want him for his sophomore campaign. Maybe not. You know, maybe that just depends on how Tyree looks. You know, if Tyree just comes out and he looks like he could be, you know, on the roster with Allen and Barkley, then I don't know if there's a need for Anderson anymore. But maybe they do want that kind of veteran still there. So
maybe they do.
That'll be interesting to see. And Yeah, they had a lot of – I'm glad you brought up the undrafted free agents, because they had a lot of couple – or they had a couple of guys that people know about. I think, you know, the West Virginia wide receiver, David Sills.
Yes.
Still, you know, he's someone that, you know, was very prominent in the West Virginia program and definitely made his mark there. So I think, you know, him signing is pretty big. You know, they have the Iowa wide receiver, Nick Easley. So Tyrell Dodson's very good from Texas A&M. So
yes.
Also, you know, could definitely push, you know, for special teams time. And yeah, so I think you have a lot of encouraging young players that every NFL team believes that they do coming out of this draft. But I'm also excited about the Tyree thing. I think just for people who went to UB or follow UB or fans of UB, I think for him being on the, you know, for him to land with the Bills is, it's pretty special. I think for a lot of people back in the city and back for that university to kind of prop him up there is like Buffalo Bills quarterback now, Tyree Jackson. Very, very cool. Very cool for him.
It is. I mean, you also had the defensive back from UB2 was signed, Cam Lewis.
Yep.
They picked him up as well, but yeah, it's a good feeling. I'm glad that they kept those two around. Because Tyree, I think, was projected to go maybe fourth or fifth, at the highest. You know, if anybody was looking for a quarterback, but for Buffalo to do that, keep him in the area, I think was a classy move. I think it was really well done. And perhaps for, you know, obviously for their own best interests in mind, but it's good because Jackson has a nice following around here too, and for him to, you know, stay in town for his professional career, at least for the time being, is, you know, it looks good. It looks good PR wise.
Yeah, it gives him a chance to put stuff on tape for whoever may want him or in the future. All of these guys really want is an opportunity to play, you know, and to show what they can do so that other teams, because other teams are always watching as well. So it'll be good though to get his feet wet with the Bills, and he knows the city obviously. So that's not a hard transition for him. We can just get focused on, you know, camp and all these mini camps. So I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun for the media. I think it'll be fun for fans to watch, you know, throughout the spring and summer here as we wrap up to the season, how he's doing.
It absolutely will be. I mean, side note too, him and Josh Allen working out this past offseason together as well.
Right.
So there's already some chemistry there. Yes.
Yeah.
So there's chemistry. Things are looking up for Buffalo. Things are really, truly looking up for Buffalo. As a fan, you absolutely have to be optimistic right now. And if you aren't pessimistic, I think that's on you, not on the way everything was drafted. You know, not to be critical like that, but I mean, we just listed off some very talented guys, college athletes who worked hard to be where they're at and are getting the opportunity to live their dream. You know, some of them probably will pan out, some may not. But regardless, all talented, and they're all with the Buffalo Bills. So good on that.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. I appreciate doing these episodes with you. I hope the listeners do as well. And make sure you guys are all checking out the articles that Nick and Brad and all the guys are writing over there at Bills Wire. Keep up to date with everything, Justin. So all those guys are, you know, cranking out articles and keeping me in the loop. And, you know, now that the draft is over, there will be a lot of other little things to look out for in terms of, you know, free agents that may still sign, like Ziggy Ansah and stuff like that. So make sure you're tuned in to Bills Wire, and we'll definitely be back with a future episode as more news breaks and as more Bills mini camps start to open up.
Absolutely, guys. To the listeners, on behalf of Jeremy and myself, we appreciate you very much. And until next time, go Bills.